This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
The leaked emails show Powell sharply criticizing Hillary Clinton and her campaign for using him to justify her use of private email servers at the State Department. We've asked for a comment from General Powell. We are waiting to hear his response. Nancy Cordes is in Chappaqua, New York, where Clinton is still recovering from pneumonia. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning. These emails are from Powell's Gmail account, and they were posted by an anonymously run website called DC Leaks that is suspected of having ties to Russian intelligence. His emails to friends, colleagues, and reporters show that he was deeply resentful that Clinton and her supporters were comparing her use of a private account as Secretary of State to his.
The hacked emails reveal deep tensions between Powell and the Clinton campaign. In them, Powell says he met with Clinton's advisors in August to discuss burying the email flap. Sad thing, Powell writes, Clinton could have killed this 2 years ago by merely telling everyone honestly what she had done and not tie me to it. I told her staff 3 times not to try that gambit. I had to throw a mini tantrum at a Hamptons party to get their attention. In another email from a year earlier, Powell tells a business associate, I told you about the speaking gig that I lost at a university because she so overcharged them, adding, everything HRC touches, she kind of screws up with hubris.
Baseless Republican accusations.
Clinton's emails were also the topic of discussion on Capitol Hill.
I respectfully decline to answer.
A Republican-led hearing in the House uncovered few new details, but Congressman Jason Chaffetz vowed to stay on the issue.
But if anybody's under any illusion that I'm going to let go of this and just let it sail off into the sunset, they are very ill-advised.
Well, what this is all doing, of course, continues to expose the underbelly of the political class. And here it is, you know, you're talking about approval rating of former Secretary of State Colin Powell, which continues to stay up there, you know, because we want to perceive him as being very credible and having some veritas. And, of course, you know, these leaked emails from DC Leaks, an anonymously managed website. And, of course, anytime you get these leaks that go on that are not associated with the NSA, it's got to be the Russians, Scott. Those doggone pesky Russians. You know, the boogeyman Russians are back at it.
And they're oligarchs. Don't forget to put in the oligarchs, the Russian oligarchs.
And like as if all of a sudden that invalidates the information. I mean, hey, no matter where you get it, I mean, the information is there. Can you answer it? It's obvious that there is a problem here. There's some veracity to what is being shared in these emails. And they've got direct quotes, you know, from Colin Powell, and, you know, as he says and was omitted from the report from CBS, she keeps tripping into these character minefields, you know, and then talks about how he loses a speaking gig because, you know, you get the Hillary Clinton touch on speaking costs and, you know, what they charge. And they see themselves as being rather elite and exceptional, and you're going to pay for that exception, huh?
Yeah, we did actually get some more WikiLeaks release either early this morning or yesterday. There is a tie between ambassadors and how much they've donated to the party that they've connected now. So,
well, like we needed that, like we didn't know. I mean, well, how are you going to get an ambassadorship just because you know you're a nice guy and they like your conversation at the cocktail parties?
Well, your biggest thing there. Well, no, it's because you donated $3.5 million to the DNC and then you became the ambassador to the UK and the ambassador of Sweden.
Of course.
Or the chairman of the FCC. That's on there too. So,
yeah. Well, I kind of like what Colin Powell said. When asked about Hillary's answer and approach to this whole deal, he characterized it as rather dumb. He said she should have done a full Monty at the beginning. That's Colin Powell, quote unquote. This is Bill Martinez live. The conversation continues. Thanks for coming along with us.
Think you're fat? You might just be bloated. Find out by calling now for a free trial of Nubiotics, the new breakthrough that flattens bloated bellies fast. For a free trial, call 1-800-990-1243. Strict limit of one per household.
I used to be plagued by pot belly and constant bloating. After taking Nubiotics, my belly flattened and continues to get flatter. My sense of bloating and discomfort is gone.
If you've got a big belly, you might not be fat. You might just be bloated. Nubiotics is scientifically formulated with natural ingredients to flatten bloated bellies fast by cleansing pounds of rotting food and toxic sludge from your body. It even combats periodic heartburn and acid reflux. If your belly flattening results are too dramatic, simply reduce use to every other day. Think you might be bloated? See how much flatter Nubiotics makes your belly. But hurry, call now for details while we're still giving it away for free. 1-800-990-1243. That's 1-800-990-1243. 1-800-990-1243.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you. As always, great to have you along with us. It's just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. We've got, information from our sponsors. We thank you for supporting them. They believe in what we're doing and committed, with their full force. And they have great offers there for you. And this is our approach with anything that we offer through Bill Martinez Live, is we want to make your day. We want to add to your day. We want you to have this sense that it's been a positive experience. And if something ever falls short on that, do not hesitate to contact me, please. We're serious about this. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. And with us right now, we have Kevin Dunn. He's the director and co-producer of The Euthanasia Deception. It is a three-time Gemini Award. This is Canada's version of the Emmy Award nominee. Has had an exceptional 30-year career with credits. We're talking about Kevin Dunn here. That include more than 1,000 hours of both live and pre-recorded TV from a variety of genres, including variety shows, pop culture, science, history, social justice, religious, and children's programming. Kevin Dunn, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, good to have you here to talk about this euthanasia deception. As we continue to see its influence around the world, of course, we can look to its genesis, particularly in Belgium. They seem to have embraced euthanasia rather early, and we have a lot to learn here from what the Belgians have experienced, don't we?
We certainly do. I think we're just starting to get into it here in North America, and certainly in some states it's more prevalent than others. In Canada, the Supreme Court knocked down the law banning assisted suicide last year, and so we wanted to go somewhere to find what this does to a culture over a period of time. And so that's why we chose Belgium. The law was passed there in 2002. It's kind of a microcosm, but still a very good-sized country. And what we found was astounding. What we found was not being reported by mainstream media.
Well, what's the basis? It seemed that you, as you reported and as you develop in the movie here, is the genesis begins with a perception of the value of life at the very core, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think the biggest concern we see out there is that many people think about euthanasia-assisted suicide or doctor-assisted dying, whatever words you want to put on it, is kind of confined to those last few days when someone's in so much insufferable pain that they that this is kind of putting them out of their misery, and yet you look at the facts, you look at the and of course we have to be concerned, very compassionate towards those in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, but the bottom line is that the people who are asking for euthanasia in Belgium, in the Netherlands,
mm-hmm.
and even in Oregon, where I've read studies, the number one and number two reasons for people asking for this is A, fear of suffering,
mm-hmm.
and B, I'm so depressed by my situation that I don't really have any other way out. I want to end my life. So you've got these two. The actual suffering part of it, insufferable pain, is way, way down on the spectrum for people asking for this. But those are the cases, of course, we hear about, and those are very important cases with very important issues that we have to deal with. So, but if the number one reason is fear of suffering, and number two is I'm so distressed or so distraught by my, then we have a real cultural and healthcare problem that we have to address before we get to that final stage where we want to end our life.
Right.
So that's really at the core of the issue.
Yeah, Kevin, our culture is so set up for this because we're rather, you know, and I say overall, I'm not saying, you know, I'm just saying in the general context, so excuse the broad brush here. But generally, we are a convenience-based culture, or at least we're growing to that direction, don't you think?
Absolutely, and I think I know in Canada that there's the Charter of Rights, which really focuses in on the individual rights. I spoke with some experts in Belgium. I said, you know, what's at the core of this? I said, well, really, it's that individual right, that my right trumps everyone else's.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we have to respect individual rights, but at what cost? And I think what we're looking at here is a long-term situation. We have to look at the situation to what it does to a culture over time, you know, and if we open the door to this, as we've seen even in the U.S. and in Canada where we've had this for a short period of time, but in Belgium we've seen the door swing so wide open. When we've mm-hmm. opened it a crack, it's opened it so wide that now even children with the approval of their parents, if they apply,
exactly.
they can receive euthanasia. We also see situations in Belgium where in 2013, 1,000 people were euthanized, were killed by lethal injection,
mm-hmm.
without request. You know, death without request, and these people were mostly people with dementia, with mm-hmm. mental issues that couldn't make decisions on their own. The decision was made for them, and so we have to stand back and kind of go, whoa, wait a minute here, wait a minute. If these things are happening, have we not seen this in history gone by? Have we not mm-hmm. seen when we put this kind of control into the government's hands, into medical profession's hands? If we don't look back, at history, we could end up in a situation that we so much disdained when eugenics was all the rage, and we disdained it. You know, we look back, we don't want that, and yet somehow there's this idea of false of compassion that's put forth. And it truly is a false compassion when we should really be looking at what we are doing to support strong palliative care,
right.
good palliative care, support for caregivers, and access to quality health care, and community, us being there as a community. These are the big issues.
And we talk about our perception of life again, Kevin. You know, people say, look at, we euthanize our animals, why not people? I mean, is this what it's come down to? That people are like animals? We're going to use that argument to justify euthanasia?
Well, there's three. Yeah, I mean, and Amy Hasbrook, she speaks about that in the documentary. She has an organization called Ain't Dead Yet. And although the name sounds funny, they actually chose this name because of the culture's kind of acceptance. I don't know if you remember the Monty Python movie,
yes.
Where they say, "Bring out your dead," and then it's tongue in cheek.
Yes.
The guy says, "I'm not dead yet," and it's like, "Well, you will be soon." And we laughed about it 20 years, 30 years ago, but today that's kind of the situation. Well, you know what? I'm almost dead yet, or you're almost dead yet. So, you know, in Canada they say a reasonably foreseeable death. You know, we've come to this kind of throwaway culture as opposed to really dealing with the issues. We deal with three deceptions in the documentary.
Kevin, I want to halt right there because we got to go to break, and I want to make sure we have plenty of time to talk about those three deceptions. Kevin Dunn, director and co-producer of The Euthanasia Deception. The conversation continues here on Bill Martinez Live. Right now, just about 15 minutes after.
If you want term life insurance, call Life Quotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices, or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam. You do need term life insurance. Call Life Quotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
It started at Bunco Night. A little tickle in my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at FullyCookedBacon.com. FullyCookedBacon.com.
You've reached Bill Martinez Live. Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day, coming at you 3 hours, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. We're on the West Coast these days and heading back east next week. Good to have you along with us. Kevin Dunn continues with us. He is the director, co-producer of the movie, the documentary, The Euthanasia Deception, a three-time Gemini Award, which is Canada's version of the Emmy Award. You can go to Vulnerable Film, just like it sounds, .com for more information. Kevin, in the documentary, you address three deceptions in the film. Unwrap that for us.
Yeah. First of all, there's the idea. We hear so much about compassionate care, that this is a compassionate, that euthanasia, that assisted death, assisted suicide is a compassionate response to suffering. Well, we've already addressed the fact that the actual suffering part is way, way, way down there on the list as far as people actually requesting it. And so when you realize that that is so far down the list, and again, something that we have to be very concerned about, people suffering is not something we want, but we need to address it. But the idea from a cultural standpoint that assisted death is a form of compassionate care is a huge, huge jump to thousands and thousands of years, and starting, you know, going back to the Hippocratic Oath.
Yes.
You know, where we did everything we could to do no harm. And that doesn't mean extending life beyond natural means. In some cases, I think we've gone too far as trying to extend when natural death occurs and occurs to all of us. But the bottom line is compassionate care. We have to look at the cultural standpoint. So we interview Hank Rietsma. Hank is from the Netherlands. His granddad was diagnosed with early stage cancer. Some doctors say he would have had 3 years to live. Yet the doctor in the nursing care home asked the grandmother, "Would you like us to do everything we can?" And she said, "Of course." And within a couple of weeks, he put him on a regimen where they were to kill. And he came back to visit his dad, his granddad, in the hospital, trying to serve him some water. And they said, "No, don't give him water. You're prolonging his death." And they're, "What?
Wow."
You know, so we've got situations, and again, these are situations that are happening over and over again. We've got the deception of the decisions made between doctor and patient only affect the patient. Mm-hmm. You know, we interview a number of people, including Tom Morche. Tom's mother was suffering from depression. He's a professor at a university in Belgium. His mother was suffering from depression in and out all of her life, but otherwise in good health. She decided she wanted euthanasia. He gets a call one day out of the blue saying, "Your mother is dead. Please come down to the hospital." And he's
wow.
like, "What?
Wow, wow."
So, and this is a senior. These people aren't wackos. These are regular, everyday, you and me people.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's become an advocate to say, you know what, this autonomous idea, the fact that we don't let anybody know, that it's like, you know, when we look at suicides in out there, and the number one reason for suicide is a cry for help. These are cry for help. If we can't be, if it's autonomous, if these decisions are made in an autonomous situation between a doctor and a patient, and the family is not involved, we end up in a real cultural bind. And the third is safeguards. We always say that safeguards can protect the vulnerable. Well, we know from Belgium, they opened the door for a very, very small segment of people in those final moments of pain, those final days. And now we see the safeguards that as soon as you open it up, people challenge the law as it's happening. They say, well, if it's good enough for him, then why not a child, why not a youth who's suffering from depression or, you know, or someone who's got a disability? And this have disability rights advocates just up in arms and for good reason. I'll end this little, the three with one quick story. You know, when the first person comes in to see a doctor who has cerebral palsy and says, you know what, my state of life, my quality of life is not up to where I'd like it to be. I want to end it. And the doctor, out of this false compassion, says yes, because it has become a right. What happens when the second person with cerebral palsy comes in, or some other debilitating condition comes in, and just needs some support, some community help, some palliative care? You know what? Then that decision, that between the doctor's, well, it's not just a suggestion anymore. It's a serious suggestion.
Exactly.
And so we have to be careful with all of these. And this is something the media has ignored.
Well, especially individually, when somebody says, you know, it is burdensome, it is unbearable, I cannot deal with this. Well, are we talking at a pain level? We're talking a psychological level. You know, what all is involved here? And without these safeguards, it opens up the possibilities. And in Belgium, certainly, and in some of these reports that are documented in the euthanasia deception, it more than opened the door. It brought their early demise, you would argue.
Absolutely. You know, it's very difficult. Pain, as Marnix Coleman says in the documentary from Belgium, he says, you know, pain is relative. You know, and we interviewed doctors on both sides of the issue. Doctors say that there is no physical pain that cannot be managed. The problem is access to quality health care, to pain medication. And when it comes to psychological pain, well, when we go there, we start to open the door to so many different mental issues and concerns that we definitely have to be aware of and go out there and support. But to have somebody who's not of right mind make a decision, well, then that opens the door to so many other people. And then the doctors themselves, in those conditions where people can't make decisions on their own, we're into a huge, huge, huge moral dilemma.
Exactly. Well, the United States went through it, you know, for about a 15-year period, and it came into focus with Terri Schiavo in her case, her celebrated case here, as you know, particularly at the turn of the century, up to 2005. And it is one that the entire society, I believe, you know, lived. It was quite a struggle and an extended conversation about, you know, quality of life and, you know, end of life care in the United States. I'm not sure what we finally decided to do with this, but it was so horrific, that anytime you bring her name up, it makes us all feel uncomfortable here in this country.
It does, and it should. It should shake our conscience. The problem is that we all want to be kind and caring towards our fellow neighbor. It's on our hearts. Mm-hmm. We want to do that. But the question is helping someone die something that is good, or is something that is bad? Mm-hmm. You know, the question is helping someone die. Have we come to a place in society where this is the only way out? Mm-hmm. And I argue, the film argues, that this is not the only way out. Yes, we have to be concerned, and we have to deal with these issues, because pain management and accessibility to pain management is a huge concern. But the bigger issue is, have we lost that sense of, you are my brother, mm-hmm. you are my sister, I will go along with you, I will be along with you for the journey, I will sacrifice time for you, I will be there for you. And I get it. I mean, I get so many emails, bills that, you know, from people who say, well, my mother, you know, there's just don't have access to the care, and we've been there every day. And I get it. But do we give into the system? Do we give into the system, or do we fight for better care and better care for those who are caring, like the caregivers? And that's the big question.
I think this is what the documentary brings out, Kevin, is that, look, at there is some answer here. It's not a convenient answer. The culture would tell us, you know, since 2000, as you noted, there's been quite the cultural shift to open up this door that serves our own convenience mindset. But there are other avenues if you're willing to fight the good fight. And as you say, and as you are encouraging us to do right now, is let's fight for improved health care. Kevin Dunn, he's the director and co-producer of the Euthanasia Deception. Kevin, thank you so much. Go to vulnerablefilm.com for all the details.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Americans are banking on the go more than ever, as nearly two-thirds cite mobile or online as their preferred method of banking, a significant increase from last year. The third annual Bank of America Trends in Consumer Mobility report found mobile and online banking, as well as digital payments, continue to grow in popularity among U.S. consumers. More than half surveyed cite they actively use a mobile banking app, and 57% would consider or already use a peer-to-peer money transfer service from their bank. 2 in 5 would use or already use their smartphone to make purchases at checkout. Michelle Moore, head of digital banking, Bank of America.
This year's report demonstrates the growing reliance on our mobile devices to navigate daily life and manage finances. It's important for us to be where our customers are, which is why we continue to deliver new features that provide increased convenience to our more than 20 million active mobile banking users.
For more, visit bankofamerica.com.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
Well, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly, certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Getting America back on track.
It's a lie!
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Just a real quick reminder here about the legends of Hollywood, like Gary Cooper, Lana Turner, Bob Hope, I should say. You know, they had it all, right? What else would they need in their lives? They had glamour, wealth, fame. You know, what did they need God for? That was the question. Well, everything, as they found out. Mary Claire Kendall, in her book Oasis, Conversion Stories of Hollywood Legends, tells the fascinating life stories of an all-star 12. It's a must-read, page-turner, highly recommended. Makes a great present, too. Available on Amazon. So go there, Mary Claire Kendall. Oasis, Conversion Stories of Hollywood Legends. Well, with us right now, we have Amy Aparicio Clark. She's Senior Program Officer for the Aetna Foundation. Let me give you a little background here. The Aetna Foundation recently announced that it has awarded community grants to three Florida nonprofit organizations as part of its Cultivating Healthy Communities Initiative. Now, this program is designed to promote healthy eating and active living, strengthen health equity, and advance innovations that make it possible for people to have more healthy days. Why not, given the alternative? I mean, hey, what, an healthy day, maybe? No, I'm with you. It's tough enough just getting old and dealing with all these extra little, you know, nuanced pains and, you know, stiffness. Hey, let's have a healthy day. The projects will benefit communities by improving health indicators such as access to healthy foods, increased physical activity, reduced incidences reduced incidences of buying more spaces for walking and biking safely, and much, much more. Amy Aparicio Clark, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Thank you, Bill. I'm doing great.
Well, good to have you here to tell us about Cultivating Healthy Communities and the initiative. Explain to our audience what this initiative is all about.
The Cultivating Healthy Communities is a major program of the Aetna Foundation, and it's our vehicle for working with local nonprofits to improve those areas that you mentioned during your summary.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have awarded some grants to some Florida nonprofits. Explain that to us, if you would.
Sure. We actually have four Florida partners that received grants during this last cycle. We're working in Jacksonville with two nonprofits. One is St. Vincent's Healthcare Foundation, which has a pediatric nutrition and wellness initiative for elementary students. And we're also working with Second Mile Ministries, which runs after school and summer programs for elementary and middle school students. And both of these organizations help to educate youth about healthy food choices and to increase their physical activity. Mm-hmm. We also have partnerships now with Florida International University and Orange County Public Schools in Orlando to help reduce stress levels in youth and to prevent cyberbullying through activities such as mindfulness and yoga.
Mm-hmm. How big is cyberbullying? I mean, we hear more and more, you know, the information age we live in, you know, that's becoming more involved in the conversation these days. But it's increasing in prevalence, isn't it?
Absolutely. You're right. And, you know, no longer is bullying something that kids can get away from as soon as they leave school. It really is 24/7 now with the devices accessible at all times. So we really saw the importance of expanding our focus of funding this year to include this very real and tangible aspect of community safety for young people in particular.
Well, what happens with these perpetrators? I mean, are they, you know, are the keys to their computers taken away? You know, how do we stop this? I understand education is part of it, but it's also appreciating and respecting the power of cyberspace.
You're absolutely right. The focus, our programs actually take different approaches to this issue. And the approach that we're taking through the Florida programs is to increase the kids' awareness and parents' awareness of areas of vulnerability. Once you are, you know, on social media, for example.
Exactly.
So really trying to at least focus on the things that we can change, the things that are immediate and applicable in a day-to-day basis as kids use their phones.
Well, Amy, much props to Aetna Foundation is due here. You know, and help us understand why Aetna decided to get involved in this.
The Aetna Foundation has really been investing in these local nonprofits for many years, and the focus has been in past years on healthy eating and active living. And it's really this year that we're taking a more holistic approach to looking at what makes a person healthy, what has an impact on a person's health. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly nutrition and physical activity are a huge part of that. But as we were saying, so is a feeling of safety and well-being. You know,
exactly.
Let's say if you're the stress, if you're constantly under stress, you're not going to be a healthy and well person, and you're not going to learn as much. So we're looking more broadly now at what are the different factors that determine how healthy a person ends up being. So we're trying to expand that, and in the coming years, we're going to be looking for projects that also address that issue and that question more broadly.
Well, speaking of expanding, of course, you know, when you see what's being done here in Florida with these four partners, you think, well, it's a matter of time before we take this coast to coast, don't we?
Exactly. And in fact, it's funny that you say that, because we do have some projects on the West Coast that are also addressing bullying, but in their own unique context. And, you know, that's the beautiful thing about this program. It really allows us to find partners that know their communities very well and can tailor the programs that they have for the needs of that community.
Well, Amy, you know, we touched a little bit on this, but we've got a little bit more time, and so I want to unfold this just a little bit more for our audience to realize, you know, how comprehensive, you know, the approach that Aetna is approaching here with this, you know, through the foundation with these programs. As you say, it's very holistic. So what do you hope to achieve through this program?
Well, we certainly hope that the grantees that we have funded have, in 2 years' time, evidence that the intervention of the program really resulted in tangible changes in behavior and a sense of well-being by the participants. So we're really working closely with them to make sure that they have ways and that they are doing what they need to do throughout the life of their project to capture that evidence, because, as you can imagine, the more evidence there is that those approaches are achieving their intended results, then the more of a basis we have for funding more projects like those in you know, in future grant cycles.
Now, how did you get involved with this program, Amy?
I began my work at the Aetna Foundation about 7 months ago. Coming from a nonprofit background myself, I managed many projects that dealt with education and health, particularly of young teens. So I have the background knowledge and expertise on the program side, and I made the transition to the Cultivating Healthy Communities program because of that experience and knowledge base.
Exactly. Well, good for you. Where can the folks go for more information?
AetnaFoundation.org is the website, and if they want to follow along on Twitter, the hashtag is HealthyTogether.
Healthy Together. There it is. Amy Aparicio Clark. Amy, I got to tell you, when I heard Aparicio, I couldn't help but think of another Aparicio, which was, you know, I had his baseball card when I was growing up. And so the passing thought came, I wonder if she's related to Louis Aparicio. Have you ever heard that?
Oh, I have. I believe he's Venezuelan, and my family is Peruvian, so unfortunately I can't claim any relations.
Well, you could lie to me and tell me, yes, exactly. You know, in fact, I've got one of his golden, you know, baseball cards with me just for fun. But Amy Aparicio Clark, Senior Program Officer for Aetna Foundation. Amy, thank you so much for sharing with us. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Are the answers to your present and future hidden in your past? Akashic readings help you learn to unlock the answers for love, finances, weight loss, self-esteem, confusion, grief and loss, and more. Akashic email readings by Dr. Kelly Maroon, PhD, are specially priced right now. Learn more at Dr. Kelly Maroon's website, akashicuniversal.com, spelled AKASHICUniversal.com. Change your life today. Become one with your true path with intention on purpose. Visit akashicuniversal.com.
Attention parents nearing the potty training stage. We know how tough it can be. Mom and pediatrician Dr. Tanya Altman shares tips and tricks to make underwear training an easy and positive experience.
Well, they may be around age 2 or 3, and they won't tell you that they want to use the potty, but they'll often start showing you by letting you know that they can kind of sense that they need to go. You might see them hide under the table or behind the couch so they have a little privacy when they need to go. They also might get excited to start wearing big boy and big girl underwear. And that's often when I like to transition them into training pants. Get them excited about wearing Pampers Easy Ups. They have the look and feel of real underwear. They're easy for toddlers to pull up and down. They have a 360-degree stretchy waistband. They're super soft, and I love the amazing leak protection. They also tear easily at the sides, just in case you need to get them off right away.
For more info, go to Pampers.com.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day. But growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
You've reached Bill Martinez Live.
I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I am holding on. I am.
Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. It is all right there, along with our sponsors, which I thank you so much for supporting. Also, past interviews that you can listen to and download and, you know, have a little podcast of your own, you know, custom made. Why not? All available right there for you. Jennifer Burke is with us, a co-founder of Politistic and the editor-in-chief. She graduated from Texas A&M University, a certified teacher with 12 years experience in the classroom. And what I appreciate about Jennifer's heart is that she has a passion for the fight for freedom for current and future generations. Jennifer, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
It is. It's exactly what it's all about. What kind of a America, do we want to leave for our children, one where they experience freedom or one like in Venezuela, which is the socialistic system that the Bernie Sanders supporters of the world would like to move us to, where people can't find toilet tissue and are told by their government to cook rocks if they're hungry. Yeah. And that actually happened.
Well, and this is amazing, too, Jennifer. You know, you bring up a good point A lot of kids today that are subjected to, I call it indoctrination, this anti-American sentiment and indoctrination. You know, they think it's all cool. You know, they get a T-shirt. They got Che Guevara on their chest.
Or, mm-hmm.
You know, what other, you know, political subversive and revolutionary that they want to carry out. But it's like nobody's telling them, like, are you out of your mind? Do you realize what Che Guevara stood for? Do you have any clue whatsoever? But it's all, you know, the Bernie Sanders crowd. And I'm broad brushing here, admittedly. Okay, so forgive me. But you know, in a general context, it's just, you know, surfs up, and this is fashionable, so let's kind of, you know, get on this wave. But when you try to have a conversation with them, they're absolutely clueless as to the end game of these different political thoughts. And then it's like, say, all right, go ahead and create a country for yourself, and why would you not want something that has proven itself for over 200 years like America?
Right. Yeah. You know, my 27-year-old stepdaughter, she never really got a ton into politics as much as our sons did, even though they're younger than she is. But in recent years, she has. And she sent me a brilliant, brilliant meme. And Bernie Sanders proved this to be true with his $600,000 vacation home purchase after the primary. And that's his third home. And
yes,
it was, this is your country on socialism. This is your hospitals on socialism. This is your politicians on socialism. And it shows this big, elaborate house. And
yes,
I thought it was such a powerful visual, but they don't. That's why you have, Colin Kaepernick, the San Francisco 49ers backup quarterback, on the one hand, saying he's not going to honor a flag of a country that oppresses black people and people of color, and then gives a press conference the very next day wearing a T-shirt with Fidel Castro on it.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a complete disconnect and lack of understanding of not just history, but reality.
And then the following week, wear socks at a practice with, you know, with pigs wearing cop hats.
Right.
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 What's all that about?
He has respect for police officers. Somebody that does that has absolutely no respect for police officers. And, you know, just yesterday, just to tell you, and I didn't hear Obama speak out about this, three police officers in Phoenix, one
yes.
guy had just
oh
started
goodness.
His very first day on the job, were hit intentionally by a man in a vehicle, and this was this guy's second time attacking police. He did so, what they say, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The rookie, one guy was his first day on the job. He went flying through the air. I mean, it was insane to look at. He suffered a head injury. Another guy suffered... I think back injuries. One of the other guys was able to miraculously get out of the way. But this is what all they were doing was standing in a parking lot, probably after going in to get some coffee or something to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happens to them. They're standing by a marked car
right.
in their uniforms.
It was horrific. That footage was absolutely horrific. In fact, I thought it was quite ironic that Fox, you know, was saying, because that's where I saw it. It was on Fox News. They apologized for the footage, but they kept showing it over and over again. I go, oh, what is this, Lee Harvey Oswald getting shot again? I mean, it is a horrific, video there of watching these three police just rolled over. I mean, it's like, what, the car intifada now has come to the United States?
Right, right. I mean, it's exactly. The man used a car as a weapon, and in Dallas, a man put himself up in the sniper position in order to, as he said, hurt as many white officers as possible. And this man chose to use a vehicle. So on the one hand, Colin Kaepernick faced no repercussions for wearing socks with police officers pictured as pigs, and on the other hand, the Dallas Cowboys were told, "No, I'm sorry, you can't put a sticker on your helmet for the season." In honor of the memory of those police officers that were killed simply for being police officers. And on the one hand, Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, says, you know what, I support Kaepernick and his protest. You know, we need to have a discussion. And on the other hand, he's threatening to, I don't know if he's made the final decision, to fine other NFL players, some of them black, who wanted to wear cleats in honor of those killed on 9/11.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just like the world is completely upside down.
It really is. And the thing is I think Roger Goodell in, I mean, and he's not a dummy. I mean, this is a smart man. He's confused. You know, I got to tell you, because there is a time and place. If Colin Kaepernick wants to object, hey, you have every right to do so. But, you know, last time I checked, you do not own the NFL. And what's going to happen is they're going to continue to abuse that brand to such a degree that, you know, the people are going to turn their backs. I mean, because you're talking a lot of veterans, you're talking military families, everything that's associated with the goodness of America and all that the flag represents. And if these guys start, you know, continuing to disrespect, I mean, now we've had three athletes. And generally what happens when athletes do this, they shortly find the exit doors. Now, Kaepernick is in a vulnerable position, a star quarterback at one point. I mean, obviously, to the point that he still garners $119 million as a salary. Thank you very much. You know, last time I checked, if you go anywhere else in the world, I don't think you're going to make $119 million, right?
Right.
So here he is, and he's abusing, to me, he's abusing the bigger brand and how the commissioner is allowing him and others to do this. I mean, we have a female soccer player doing the same thing. It's like, okay, go find your place. If you really want to go make a difference, then Colin Kaepernick, go down in these areas, these poor areas, and go be a spokesperson. If there's injustice that you see, then articulate it. But when he had his 15 minutes of fame to be able to talk about it, you know, I was disappointed. He could not articulate his position. Did I miss something here, Jennifer?
No, you didn't. And you know, when I first saw what he did, my first inclination was to think, what is he trying to set himself up to cry racism or discrimination if he's let go? Because
exactly.
The fact of the matter is, he's not a very good quarterback. He had one good season. They traded Alex Smith and kept him. I'm sure it's a decision they've regretted because it's been downhill since then. The 49ers had an opportunity to get rid of him during the offseason, which they should have taken that opportunity. But now he's sitting on the bench. I think this year he's making 11 this year.
Yeah, I'm here.
Conversation
okay,
for analysts and everything. But people are already pretty ticked off with the NFL, with Roger Goodell constantly adding more overseas games. You know, so if your team is playing in London, you have to wake up at 6 a.m., depending upon your time zone, to watch them.
Right.
But I think that Trent Dilfer is actually one of my favorite analysts on TV, has been for a long time, because I think he's really good. But he said that, and he's getting a lot of flack for this, that Colin Kaepernick, as a backup quarterback, his job is to be quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he should not be making a spectacle of himself,
right,
that he's putting himself above the team. Because the fact of the matter is, his actions are going to impact how people view that team, whether people support that team. You know, maybe the city of San Francisco might be behind him, but when he was in San Diego for the last preseason game, he got booed widely.
Yes.
When they called his name, I think the entire thing is a PR nightmare, not only for the NFL, but for the 49ers as well.
Exactly. Well, of course, San Diego, military town being what it is. You know, again, just as San Diego had a right to express their viewpoint, Colin Kaepernick has a right, and we're not saying that he doesn't. We're just saying, at least I'm saying, is that there is a place. This is not the place to do this. And
right.
And your mindset was the same as mine. My immediate thought went to, you know, he's headed to the exit door. And now he's going to claim some sort of injustice. And now the 49ers, you know, what are they going to do? They let this guy go.
Mm-hmm.
And so because, you know, he wore the wrong socks or, you know, he took his you know, his American right and stood for justice for all, and the 49ers decided to kick him out the door when it had nothing to do with it. Go ahead.
Right. But, I mean, look at it. Colin Kaepernick, when he chose to sit, he said, I don't care if I lose endorsements. And my first thought with that statement was, dude, I don't know that you have any endorsements anymore because you haven't been good for a couple of years.
Right.
But he might have a right to stand and say what he wants to. But it's not protected under the First Amendment because the 49ers are not the government.
Right.
I mean, it's the government not being able to impede your freedom of speech. Look at Brandon Marshall with the
Denver.
Broncos.
Right.
He's lost
exactly.
two major endorsement deals because of his choice. And the companies have the right to cut him, which they did.
Well, the Players Association, I think, need to get these guys together before they absolutely implode and do some irreparable damage, not only, you know, for themselves individually, but for the greater brand, the NFL, because Goodell's leadership is obviously missing in this case, Jennifer. Jennifer Burke has been with us, co-founder of Politistic and the editor-in-chief. Jennifer, thank you so much. Don't forget, you can go to politistic.com for more information. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Why do they dispense little colorful pills that restrict the production of stomach acid? Compromising digestion, leading further to malabsorption, leading even further to bone loss, and many other health complications. Well, at Bill Martinez Live, we support structure and function of digestion with a healthy body digestion pack. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326. Healthy acid, healthy body. That's 855-305-8326.